Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS, and let me tell you, this one is going to hit home for a lot of folks in our world.
Oh, yeah. We're diving headfirst into the real challenges and the real opportunities facing the blue-collar businesses today. None of that sugar-coated nonsense.
Exactly. We're talking about leadership, trust, respect, and what it really takes to bridge the gap between generations on the job site.
And let's be clear, this isn't about the kids these days or the old dogs can't learn new tricks. It's about connecting the dots and pulling the best out of people and creating workplaces that actually work.
You're going to hear stories that are going to make you laugh, shake your head, or maybe even rethink how you look at your crew, your leaders, and maybe, just maybe, even yourself.
This episode's packed with no BS insight, a lot of laughs, and a fresh take on building a blue-collar future that's worth fighting for.
So let's get into it.
Welcome back to the Blue Collar BS Podcast. How you doing today, Brad?
I am wonderful, Mr. Doyle. Absolutely wonderful. And how is Motor City, Detroit?
Motor City, Detroit. You know what? We're getting ready for opening day. Football's here. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. And in Green Bay. So
I know, right? It's got to be a slaughter.
I hope they beat the shit out of the Packers so badly. But we'll find out. Why are you shaking your head? I'm a Detroit guy as well. So that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Can you see the logo on my shirt, bro?
Yeah. Yeah,
they serve it anywhere.
Yeah, they do.
It is champagne of beers.
It is, exactly.
They do. So, Brad, obviously our guest is here. Who do we have?
We have Lori Rawlings, a former lawyer with 20 years experience providing strategic advice and solutions as an attorney. Well, she's no longer doing any of that stuff, so she's happier now than being an attorney. She has been the executive director for the Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association of Oregon, and then the executive director of Plumbing Mechanical Sheet Metal Contractors Alliance here in Milwaukee. So her experiences in the blue collar world are real, and it's going to be fun to hear some of these stories, especially the legal take on it, to protect the guilty and keep the innocent innocent. Lori, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
Yeah. Don't say that.
You say that now.
Wait till the end.
Just wait till the end.
You can edit that part out.
So before we get too chatty here, Lori, which generation do you identify or fit in with?
I am a proud member of Generation X. Thank you for asking.
All right. I mean, we exclude Brad from that. He's a boomer, so we're good.
Nope.
Ooh.
Nope, I am not.
Are you just being mean, Steve?
Couple years short. Am I what?
Are you just being mean?
And?
Yes, he's being a dick. It's okay.
Exactly. So, Lori, tell us about the journey of going from being a lawyer to getting into the trades. Like, what happened?
It was total serendipity, actually. So, I practiced law for 10 or 11 years. And actually, I was always drawn to construction cases because they are tangible and really interesting. Like, I love field trips, so I really enjoyed going out to construction sites. And I spent 4 years as an in-house attorney for the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. So I got to go on some really cool field trips, sewers, which was really
fun.
Oh, the
deep tunnel project.
I've been in the deep tunnel. I've been in other like active sewer lines. I've obviously been to both of our wastewater treatment plants many times. So yeah, I really like
big happy.
Yeah,
process.
Exactly. Where they make Milorganite at Jones Island. So very heavily involved with that. So I was always drawn to those kinds of cases because they were tangible. Like I could see what was happening. It's easy to explain and understand because they're concrete kinds of things. And so I was at Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, MMSD for short, for those of you who are from this area. And one of the engineers that I worked with there His brother-in-law is also an attorney, a recovering attorney like me, who had escaped practicing law to become the executive director of a construction contractor association of the Plumbing Mechanical Sheet Metal Contractors Alliance. And he was getting ready to retire, and he needed an emergency replacement for his associate director who had had to go out on emergency medical leave. And he was heading into labor negotiations with three different trade unions and needed somebody to help him. And it just sounded like an exciting adventure. I didn't know anything about construction. I didn't know anything about labor law. So I went into this new adventure not knowing anything about the trades, and I just fell in love with it. Because the more I learned about apprenticeship and how people get paid to learn a skilled trade and then come out with no college debt out of their apprenticeships and then, you know, making six figures with pensions and great benefits, I was like, wait a minute, why don't more people know about this? Why aren't we publicizing this? So that's how I ended up working with the trades. And then I was an executive director for 10 years for two different mechanical contractors associations, first the one in Milwaukee, then in Portland, Oregon. And about 4 years ago, I launched a consulting business focused on doing leadership development for construction industry clients, because I could just see there were some gaps in how we train up. Exactly. We throw people with technical skill and expertise into managing people, and we don't give them any kind of training or support. And
right. No,
it terrified
do.
Me.
They do. Go get it done. Handle it. Just get it done.
Yeah. So that's what I do now, is I do a variety of soft skills, people skills, leadership training, and consulting for a wide variety of construction and industry clients all around the country. And I love
it. Excellent. So how are you for that second generation business that's owned by the older ex or even boomer right now, because granddad started it and we're going to transition? And how are you getting by that soft skills just bullshit stuff? That's just fucking show up and work on time, do the job. Why do we have to teach these kids? Just show up and do the work. Why do we have to worry about it? How are you getting past that barrier to help create better organizations?
Yeah, really great question. So
it's like 60 minutes, Lori. You know that.
Yeah, right? I know. Well, you are obviously a very skilled interviewer, and I appreciate that.
Wow.
Skills, butter
I'm
up.
An ass kisser.
No. So, I mean, that is literally the shit truck backing up and just spilling right now. I mean, I'm glad I have boots on.
I used to work for the sewerage district, man. I have a Vactor truck parked in my driveway that I just, you know, I do it in reverse.
Right.
But anyway, first thing I want to say is I've been really pleasantly surprised at how few people have that attitude, especially from that older generation, at least the ones who are in my training programs. And maybe it's because they're self-selected. But I think, like you, Brad, I do a lot of work around managing multi-generational issues and multi-generational teams and communication. So that's part of where I start, is, you know, getting the older generation to think back to when they were early in their career and remember that the boomers were called hippies and self-centered and the me generation, and try to remind them like that's just a phase of life. It's not a generational thing, right?
No climbing the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like when you were in your 20s, you wanted more free time too. You know, you were less focused on supporting a family and more focused on work-life balance. Like maybe that's not the term you used. And I think also like we have these generational stereotypes that, you know, it's hard to define an entire generation of people just by like the 10 to 15 year slot that they were born in, right?
Like, it's real easy.
It's easy to do, but it's wrong and not helpful and constructive, right? So like you've got people within every generation who get it, that we need communication and soft skills, and people who don't, right? So I also focus on safety and productivity, which really...
Productivity?
Yeah, exactly.
These kids aren't like, productive at all. They don't know what they're doing.
I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because they need to be taught, right? Like, that's
the
whole
goal. They should just know, Lori. They should just know.
I mean, exactly.
It's common sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I try to connect with that too. Like, really? Did you know everything every day you walked on the job? So it's partially just like focusing on, you know, really core things like listening and remembering what it was like for you when you first started and putting yourself in other people's shoes and respect. So I try to like connect everything I do to the core values that people have in the trades, right? Respect, showing up on time, working hard, being treated well, and safety. And those are the key things that I just hammer away at to try and make the connection between why we need good leadership and people skills if we want to have a safe, productive workforce.
The question that I have with your with all of your experience, especially in the running the different associations, obviously you've seen, you've heard a lot of different things around the younger generation coming into the workforce. What would you say is the one kind of like biggest myth that you had to debunk from all the stuff about the young generation coming in?
That they don't want to work hard.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's a complete myth.
Sing it.
Yeah. You know, again, there are people of every generation who don't want to work hard. And there are people of every generation who do want to work hard. You can't use such a broad brush to define an entire cohort of people, right? It comes down to individual values, individual skills. Now, I mean, they've certainly had different life experiences than those of us from older, right? You know, like I, when I was running one of the associations, I had a, I hired a young administrative assistant, and I came back from an apprenticeship meeting. And I told her, you know, it's really surprising to me how many people we interview for apprenticeships who don't know how to read a tape measure. I mean, like, they taught us how to do that in grade school. Like, it's just like reading a ruler. And she said, I don't know how to read a tape measure. I'm like, your dad, her. How can you not know how to read a tape measure? So, like, I, you know, I think our education system has done a real disservice to the last several generations in giving them more opportunities for hands-on training and, you know, shop classes and tech ed classes. And that's slowly starting. Just people are recognizing, uh-oh, you know, like we haven't been doing enough in people's, you know, primary education years to equip them for anything besides sitting in a college classroom. So, you know, it's a societal thing, you know, that we share responsibility for as the older generations who've been pushing people to go to college. It's all the path to success and de-emphasizing core things like construction skills and manufacturing skills and that sort of thing.
We reap what we sow, right? And this has been, right? It's been self-created by those that own the businesses, essentially, because they had all their friends of the same age or similar age all working for them, and they didn't think about what the next steps were along the way. So you'd mentioned the trust, respect, safety, those types of things. How are you helping people understand that, like, the older generation, you earn trust, right? Your trust bucket is empty and you make it full. On the younger generation, your trust bucket is full and you make it empty. How are you getting people to understand that that is the inverse is true here between those generations?
Yeah. So I start with really simple, basic questions. Like, I want you to think about a job where you felt respected and enjoyed coming to work every day. What was it about that job that made you feel respected? And then people just start talking about, I had a great mentor who took me.
But how do you do that with a 22-year-old who's their first job? This is their first job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll ask maybe a slightly different question. Like, who was your best coach or mentor and why?
Okay.
Because a lot of times, like, even if they haven't had work experience, they've had an experience as an athlete. So they had a coach who instilled trust and discipline and hard work and showing up on time mm-hmm. to them. And there are a lot of transferable skills correct. From athletics to blue collar work.
Athletics club, drama club, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why I wanted to make that to help our audience understand that there is a transferable piece there that the mm-hmm. younger person may not understand. And it's your job to draw right. that out, to make those comparisons as the leader, not to go, well, you haven't done shit. So
yeah,
obviously know nothing. That's the wrong approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a great point. You know, and I'm really glad that you threw out the example of drama club, you know, versus athletics, because not everyone participated in athletics, but that doesn't mean they can't be successful in a blue collar job.
Yep.
So an example that one of my good friends he's a seam fitter by trade. Well, he would say pipe fitter because that's what they say in Seattle. He's a training director for Seattle Area Pipe Trades, and we co-teach a class together on workplace professionalism every year at UA Instructor Training Program. I know. And it's so funny because
there's so much irony there.
Exactly. That's how we start the class. We're like, we understand the irony of having the two of us be tapped to teach a class called workplace professionalism because we're like the least professional people ever.
Keep your clothes on. Let's start there.
But so we teach this class, and an example that he loves to use of like how not to, you know, let your bias toward people who grew up on a farm or like, you know, spend all their free time fixing cars or motorcycles be the only ones that you think are qualified for a career in the trades. And so he talks about how he and his apprenticeship committee were interviewing people, and there was a kid who came in and they asked him, you know, what are your hobbies? And he's like, oh, I like to play video games. And he could see like all the contractors on the committee just like, oh, let's get this guy out of here as quickly as possible. But PJ, he's like, understood, because he likes to play video games too, but he's also a fitter. And so he's like, well, tell me about what kind of games do you play? Like, do you use a PC? Did you build your PC? And so like he threw him out, and you know, the kid told him like, actually, like I built my own PC and I do this and I do that. And by the end of the interview, all the contractors on the committee wanted to hire him because they realized he would make a great HVAC service tech because mm-hmm. of just passion for technology and troubleshooting technical mm-hmm. issues. So there are all kinds of transferable skills from different hobbies. You know, it's not just about turning a wrench, right? There are so many different aspects to blue collar jobs that, you know, they're technical in nature. Mm-hmm. You're smart. You have to be good at math. You have to have troubleshooting skills. So I try to get that point across too.
So you touched on something that I know a lot of contractors fail at, is especially in the interviewing questions, is actually getting kids engaged when they don't really have any quote unquote good, like, oh, did you, you know, good experience mm-hmm. in what they believe is the trade. And so you hit on something with the student that talked about, you know, building their computer. They had an affinity for the video games. They're building something. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to maybe, you know, maybe it's an owner or a person that's doing an interview, like how do you engage with someone that doesn't come across quickly of, hey, having relevant experience to mm-hmm. get them to explain a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. It helps to have supervisors and leaders who are open-minded and good at asking open-ended questions and then mm-hmm. listening to the answers mm-hmm. to figure out, like, does this person actually have an aptitude that we can match up with a part of the trade or a part of the job? And to, you know, give them examples like that or other examples of other people who have been very successful in the trades who did not grow up on a farm or turning a wrench. Because there, you know, there are a lot of women who are very, very successful in this trade who are my height or smaller. And I know you can't really tell from a podcast. I'm 5'4". I'm really tiny. And actually, I tower over several of the women trades workers who are mentors and role models of mine mm-hmm. who are really good at figuring out how to use body mechanics to lift, mm-hmm. who are really good at using their prior life experiences to become good welders, for example. I know some people who have transferred some of their skill from sewing or playing music mm-hmm. into working in mm-hmm. the trades or blue collar professions, because there's a lot of overlap. You know, there's pattern recognition, there's, you know, the ability to like see a plan or design and then actually like
feel the vibrations, the harmonics, all of those things mm-hmm. go into a mm-hmm. lot of different activities.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I try to highlight those stories, both, you know, in the trainings that I do, like real life examples of people who've been really successful without looking like a stereotypical blue collar worker. And I, you know, I also have my own podcast where I interview a ton of people who are doing cool things in the trades who, again, like don't look like the stereotypical construction worker, but have had very successful careers, just to try to educate the general public about that.
Yeah, it's getting the understanding that just because it isn't shop class, tech class, those types of things, whatever STEM activity might be, whether it's robotics, whether it's the arts, whether it doesn't matter, it is all transferable in some way, shape, or form. Every play is like a new product launch at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. If you want to think, but most people aren't willing to take that step to go, oh, they had to learn this every year. They had to go through set design mm-hmm. every year. They had to go through costumes right. every year. Yeah. Just like you're going to go through a new product or a new building or a new whatever every year. They're mm-hmm. okay with change if you give them an idea as to why the change is there, or what's the purpose behind the change.
Absolutely.
To change it from blue to yellow just because, why are we doing this? This is a waste of time, right? Because
right.
there's a different value of time there. So mm-hmm. that's spectacular. Any of those guests you want to send over to this show, let us know. And we can do
some
guests as well, because there's always opportunity there, because there's great stories and great success. And hearing how there's people have created their own ladder or how they went through and became leaders and different things are all important to the audiences to hear.
Yeah, there are some really, really cool people out there who have amazing stories to tell. So yeah, I'll send you some of my favorites.
Awesome. All right, we're in the show for rapid fire here, Lori.
Okay.
So we're going to take off your lawyer hat. This is nothing going to be kept incriminating. There is nothing.
I've taken it off long ago.
Okay, so. Just want to make sure. There's always the... Right. I'm sure you're always thinking of something from a risk perspective every once in a while.
Maybe.
It's hard to get rid of that from time to time.
Yeah.
So what's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in a meeting?
How much time do you have? Oh, my God. That's such a great question, because I hate meetings so much because people say so many dumb things. All right. This wasn't in a meeting. Can I tell you a story from like a high school class?
Sure. If it's the dumbest thing, I'm great with it. Let's hear it. Yep.
Okay. So, all right. When I was in my high school physics class, our physics teacher was explaining the concept of a vacuum to us, right? And he's like, you know, basically, like, you suck all the air molecules out and it just becomes, it's a complete void, right? And so if you swing a pendulum back and forth in a vacuum, it will swing back and forth forever because there's no air resistance. And this kid raised his hand, and this is a kid who was a year older than me because I was in advanced science class. And he goes, "So if you put a mouse in a vacuum, would it live forever?" And I'm like, "Are you serious? Do you think the chief cause of death of mice is air resistance?" And so, like, the teacher didn't even know what to say. But the most terrifying part of that story is that kid is now an engineer at Boeing. That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I thought I was going to go, but that's okay.
I mean, yeah, I was going down a way different path.
I could probably come up with some other dumb things people said in meetings, but nothing as colorful as that is leaping to mind.
Favorite blue collar skill you wish more people had?
Just any blue collar skills at all, honestly. Like, it's terrifying to me. Like, people can't read a tape measure. People do not know how to do basic things around their house, like basic home repair. So, yeah.
Okay. What's your go-to excuse when running late?
Diarrhea. Because that...
Nobody asks questions.
Exactly. It shuts down all further questioning.
Wow.
I've actually never used
that.
That
is the boss-ass lawyer move for sure.
Right. Yeah, I've actually never used it as an excuse, but again, this is a high school-related story. I had a good friend who skipped English class one day, and we had a really hard-ass English teacher. So the next day, he's like, "What am I going to tell Ms. Mertens about why I skipped class?" And I said, "Just tell her you had diarrhea." He just looked at me like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What? It's the perfect excuse. It shuts down all follow-up questions."
It does.
So, anyway. Yeah, I have diarrhea. I shit myself. Nobody's asking questions.
Exactly. They want to know less. They don't want to know more.
Correct.
Coffee or energy drink?
Neither. I drink tea. Green tea. Because I'm a healthy...
Tea. Okay. Go-to curse word?
Fuck.
Popular.
Is there any other?
I celebrate the entire repertoire
of all four letter words.
Shit. I like Carlin's seven dirty words. Yeah. I would point out that two of them, one of them is fuck, one's motherfucker. That's technically
the same
word. But I like both of those words a lot.
Okay. Favorite candy?
Oh, I love all candy. Probably. There are these dark chocolate caramels from Costco that are called Sanders. Mm-hmm. So good. They've got a little sea salt on them.
Sea salt on top. Yeah, you could eat a whole jar of those. You could eat, yeah.
Yeah.
You could have a whole jar and, like, it's one sitting. They're awesome.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Text or call?
I prefer a call because I'm Generation X, but correct. Most people prefer text now, so I've had to adapt.
Early bird or night owl?
Also, neither. I'm like, I have like a short window of productivity between about 10 a.m. and 3 or 4 p.m. And I go to bed early and I rise late. So,
all right. Last thing you Googled?
The very last thing I Googled was how to extend a display because I had to disconnect one of my extra monitors and hook it up to my son's new computer because the new monitor didn't arrive and I have this old Mac and I was trying to see if I could use the old Mac as another monitor and it didn't work out.
Okay.
I'm a dork. That's the kind of thing I Google.
Favorite music?
I love all types of music.
That doesn't mean it's your favorite.
Well... You know, so I played classical music a lot in the early part of my life, but...
Favorite
first radio preset?
Preset? I would have to say, like, 60s soul.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Favorite sport?
Right. Favorite sport to participate in is cycling. Favorite sports to watch would be hockey and football.
All right. Okay. Football team is...
The Green Bay Packers and the Wisconsin Badgers.
Too bad for you. Hockey.
No, too bad for you. Your life must be soul sucking and joyless if you're not fans of those teams.
Favorite hockey team?
Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, okay. That's okay. So no NHL, more collegiate?
Only collegiate. Yeah. And also the Milwaukee School of Engineering Raiders. My husband is a swim coach.
Okay.
And
Kern Center. It's a great sheet of ice down there.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Bucket list vacation location.
Antarctica.
Living or dead, who would you want to have a conversation with?
Paul McCartney.
Interesting. Very interesting. Just because it's 2025, Ginger or Marianne?
Ginger is so much hotter than Marianne. I'm going to have to go with Ginger. And also her wardrobe, so much better than Marianne's.
It was. What, Steve?
Do you have guests who are sometimes too young to even know what you're talking about when you ask that question?
Yeah. That was, it's like, okay. I was like, all right, yep. Mm-hmm. You know your audience. Yep. But maybe you can see it anywhere, right? That's all. So how do people find you, Lori? Where do they get a hold of you? How do they find your awesomeness and your great wit and humor at the same time?
That's so sweet. I'm easy to find on my website, larirawlings.com. Unfortunately, my name is not spelled like it sounds. So it's LARIROLLINGS.com.
Nice. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. And thank you for doing what you're doing in the industry to help sustain organizations, to help them be better, to attract and retain and keep moving forward instead of watching them wither away to nothingness. That's where the passion comes from, and that's where we have shared interests in doing those things. So thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest. This was really, really fun. And thank you to the two of you for spreading the word about the great career opportunities that are out there in the blue collar world, because we've got to keep spreading the message and removing the stigma, because it's the only way we're going to rebuild this country.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
Facts.
Facts. Truth. All right. Have an awesome weekend.
Thank you, you too. It was a real pleasure and a real honor.
Oh, back to the honor, Your Honor.
Back to the honor, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.